The Lord has made so clear to me what I am to deliver tonight, but I have wrestled all morning with whether I had the right message for this morning. And as Stan was singing, I believe God has just told me to set everything aside because there's a message in that song that he just sang that he's wanting to speak to our hearts. Is there a place in your heart that you don't want the Lord to go? You don't want him to go there because when he comes, he's going to clean it out. I remember hearing a story, Joshua Harris shared it, how he had this dream that he was in a library. And in the library, there was a card catalog like there are in most libraries. And he said he walked over to the card catalog and he noticed that on the labels was his name. And under his name, there were different categories of his life. He opened one of them that was entitled, Girls That I Have Dated. And every detail was there in this catalog. He went from one to the next, and he was so ashamed and so embarrassed that all of his sin was recorded in this card catalog. So he shut the drawers. And when he looked to the side, he saw the Lord Jesus coming through the door. And he panicked. And he said, Oh, Lord, no, please, please, not you. And the Lord just walked right past him and got in front of him where the card catalog was. And he opened it up one file at a time. And he went through each card. And Joshua said he was just, his face was in his hands. He was filled with shame and embarrassment and sorrow. But he said the Lord turned around when he was finished and invited him to come and see what he had done. He said the Lord Jesus had signed his name in blood over each sin. Every area of his life, he cleansed him and made him whole. I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but I want to share one simple message that the Lord just burned on my heart as Brother Stan was singing. Is Jesus Christ really Lord of your whole life? Is he Lord of it, over every room in your heart? Does he have all of the keys? Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. The Lord is giving a promise here in verse 11. One translation says it this way. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Folks, Almighty God knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you through and through. He knows the very number of hairs upon your head. And from before the foundation of this world, God set out a plan for your life. He had a very specific purpose and plan for each and every one of your lives. Not a single one of us did God create by accident. God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make trash. He doesn't make somebody for no purpose and no reason. And for you, God has a very specific purpose and plan. He's planned to give you a future. But in order for you to enter into that purpose and plan and the future that God has set out before you, something is required of you. God wants something from you. He wants all of your heart. That's what he says here after verse 11. He gives the promise. Verse 12 tells us how to enter into that promise. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God is not interested in just part of your heart. God is not interested in the one who says, Lord, I'll give you every room of my heart, but not this room. That's a room I don't want you to go. F.B. Meyer, who was a preacher, a man of God, used mightily of God. Even after he was in full-time ministry and preaching the Word of God, he was convicted by the Lord at a Keswick convention, and he was one of the speakers, and he was convicted by the Lord at this convention that he had not given all the keys of his heart to the Lord. He had not come to an absolute surrender. He was sitting around the fire one night with some other preachers, and he saw life in these other brothers. He saw something in them that he didn't have. And he began to question them. You have something I don't have. You have something I need. Even though he was one of the speakers at the convention. And they began to share with him. And pretty soon F.B. Meyer got up and walked away out into the darkness under the starry night sky. And the Lord began to deal with him. And I don't know if he fell asleep and had a dream or if he had a vision. But the Lord came to F.B. Meyer. And he held out his hand and he said, F.B., all the keys to your heart. And F.B. Meyer reached into his heart and pulled out a set of keys, and he put the keys in the Lord's hands. And the Lord said to F.B. Meyer, he said, are all the keys there? F.B. Meyer said, Lord, they're all there but one. And Jesus took the keys and put them back into F.B. Meyer's hand and turned around to walk away. F.B. Meyer cried out, Lord, no, wait, don't walk, don't leave. And Jesus turned around and he said, you either trust me with all or you do not trust me at all. And F.B. Meyer said, Lord, there's one place in my heart I can't seem to surrender. I can't seem to give it over. It's defeated me for years. But if you will reach in and take that key to my heart that I cannot control, I have no, it's mastered me. If you will reach in and take it, I will surrender it to you now. And the Lord Jesus reached in and took that last key of his heart. He cleaned him up. And he said, I was never the same again. It was one thing that was holding him back. There have been things there throughout my life, I've experienced this, where there may be one area that was holding me back. When I was a young man, I had been saved. I'd been born again. I was traveling down the road. I was rodeoing, riding bulls for a living. And my traveling partners and I pulled into a certain town one day on a Sunday. We went to a church. And at the end of the message, the pastor began to speak on baptism. That if you've been truly been born again, the first step of obedience is to be baptized in water. And I remember the Spirit of God speaking so very clear to me. It's time, Brian, it's time for you to step out in faith and obey me and be baptized in water. And that one, I thought it was a little thing. It was holding me back. And I wouldn't do it. I was embarrassed to walk forward. I was thinking, what will my buddies think of me? And I remember hanging onto the pew and knowing with all of my heart I was saying no to God. And grief just flooded my soul, but I wouldn't let go, and I just began to cry. They didn't know what was wrong with me. But I left there knowing I disobeyed God. And every now and again this would come back to me. You've not been scripturally baptized. You've not stepped forward, that one step of obedience. Why won't you do that? And I wouldn't do it because of what people would think of me. It sounds stupid, foolish now, but that's where I was. And here it is years later, and I'm teaching an adult Sunday school class. And no one ever asked me if I'd been biblically baptized. And I'm teaching an adult Sunday school class, and I'm sensing the Lord is calling me into the ministry, but something's holding me back. And finally, the Lord put his finger on it. You have yet to obey me in this area. You have yet to listen to me and obey me. And I remember having an encounter with the Lord and the Lord saying, are you wanting to impress people or do you want to help them? Do you want to you want the praises and honor of man or do you want to follow me? I said, Lord, I want to follow you. Then obey what I've told you to do. And I went to my pastor and I said, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I've never been scripturally baptized. I was sprinkled as an infant, as a little Catholic baby. I know that's not a biblical baptism, and I've been holding back. He was sort of taken back, but that next week we went down to the river, and I shared my testimony, and I was baptized in water, immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I came up, I knew something happened. God took a load off of my chest, a burden off of me, and it was within weeks after that He opened the door and began to push me out into ministry. One thing was holding me back. Does Jesus Christ have the keys to your whole heart? Is He Lord of your whole life? Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And notice verse 18. And He, that is Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. All things He might have the preeminence. That word preeminence simply means Jesus Christ is to have first place. He is to be Lord of all. He wants all of your heart or He wants none of it. He will not be taken half-heartedly. He is to be Lord of all. Is He this morning? Is He Lord of your eyes, what you look at? Is He Lord of your ears, the conversations you listen to? Is He Lord of your tongue, what you speak about? Is He Lord of your hands, what you do with them? Is He Lord of your heart, your whole heart, every fiber of your being? Or is there something in your life that He continues to put His finger on and says you have yet to surrender all? There's one thing holding you back. Turn to Luke 18, if you would. Luke chapter 18. Sorry, Luke 10, I believe it is. Sorry, it is Luke 18. Luke 18. Verse 18. Here is a young man who had one thing that was holding him back from all that God had for him. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Here is a man who's wanting eternal life. He's wanting what God can do for him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord gave him the commandments, and every commandment the Lord gives to him had to do with him and his neighbor. He said, I've done all of that. The Lord said, You lack one thing. There is one thing that's holding you back, one key to your heart that God does not have. He had put something before God. It was his riches. It was his money. And the Lord put his finger on that one thing that was holding him back, said, Go sell all that you have, and then come follow me. And the young man could not do it. And look at the consequences. Look at what it cost him. He wouldn't surrender that one thing, and it kept him out of heaven. It kept him away. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's what happened to this young man. Have you given Jesus Christ the keys to your heart? Everything there is. And when the Lord speaks something, whether you think it's small or big, if God is speaking something to you saying, surrender, surrender all, give it up, are you listening to Him? Oh, that we would listen to Him. Whatever it is He's saying to us. Turn to Psalm 81, 81st Psalm. Listen to the heart of God in this psalm. God has something for His people. And they would not enter into it because they would not listen to Him. Psalm 81. He says in verse 7, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Let's stop right there. God's speaking to His children, the Israelites. He says, You were in trouble. You called to me, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. Have you ever noticed how many times the Lord has to put us in a place of trouble sometimes before we finally listen to Him? Sometimes He has to discipline and chasten us and get us in a place where our ears are even ready to hear what He has to say. The Lord allowed His people to become slaves. They were imprisoned to Pharaoh. They were slaves in Egypt for many, many years because of their disobedience. And they cried out finally. They cried out to Him. And God says, When you cried to me, I listened to you. I heard you. You called me in trouble, and I delivered you, and I answered you in the secret place of thunder. Now that I've listened to you, I want you to listen to me. God says in verse 8, Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, or I will warn you. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. That word hearken means listen. He's saying, Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. I listened to you when you called to me. Now I'm calling you to listen to me. Verse 9, There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had listened to me, and Israel had walked in my ways. This is what God would have done if they had listened to Him. Verse 14. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Look at the heart of God. Look at what He's wanting for His people. He's saying, if you would listen to me, verse 16, I had planned to feed you with the finest of wheat. With honey out of the rock, I would have satisfied you. I would have taken care of all your enemies. I would have been your defense. I would have taken care of you, my people, but you would not listen to me, God says. Does that describe any of us here today? God is saying, I heard you. You called to me and I answered. Now I'm telling you, now that I've delivered you, I'm requiring something of you. I'm requiring that you listen when I speak to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, God says. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. He says, my sheep, they know my voice. They listen to me. They know my voice and they follow me. There was such a relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. When the shepherd called, his sheep followed him. God is calling us to follow, to listen to him. I don't sense this morning that I'm to preach a long sermon. This is the only thing burning in my heart, is that there are some of us here today that I could go ahead and preach and preach and preach, but you already know from the song that Stan sung, from what you've already heard, you already know there is something in your heart, something in your life that is holding you back from all the fullness of God. God has a purpose and plan for you. God plans to take care of your enemies, to destroy your strongholds, to feed you, to be your provider, but you have yet to listen to him. There's something he's saying to you, and you've yet to surrender, yet to give it all to him. I'm going to make an appeal right now. That if that's you, if there is something in your heart that is holding you back and you're saying, Lord, right now I'm making a choice to surrender. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what the cost. Think of what it will cost you not to surrender. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm giving you all that I have, every key to my heart, everything. I want to follow you from now on. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me as Stan leads us in a song? Is Jesus Christ speaking to your heart? If he's speaking to your heart, he's saying, listen, listen to me. Before we sing, I want us just to bow our heads before God in silence. I want us to wait before the Lord in silence. You know, sometimes the only time God has an opportunity to speak to us when we'll be still and quiet is in church. We get out of church and there's noise everywhere. We're talking with people, we're fellowshipping, that's all good, there's a place for that. We go to the house, many turn on the TV, they turn on the radio, noise, 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 noise. There's a time to be quiet, to be still and wait before God. We're going to do that just for a few minutes. And I want to ask you to open your heart to Almighty God and see if He has something to say to you. What God can say to you, no man can say. No man can say it the way God can say it to you. Let's bow our hearts before God in stillness and quietness and ask, Lord, if you have something to say to me, I'm listening right now. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Is there a place in your heart that you don't want Him to go? Is there a place in your heart that you have yet to surrender all? Is there a part of your life you're wanting to hang on to? You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you're willing to trust Him with all. Unless you're willing to forsake all to follow Him. Unless you're willing to give Him all of your heart, all of your devotion, all of your loyalty. Unless you're willing to take up your cross and die to all your ambitions, personal plans, dreams. God has a plan for you, and you could never make a better plan. And what will it take, my dear friend? What will it take for you to finally surrender all? What will it take to finally give Him all the keys to your heart? Many of us have been chastened. We've been disciplined. God's had to put the pressure upon us. We call upon Him in trouble. He delivers us. And then we ignore His voice and go right back where we were. What is it going to take? How long? That's what the Lord spoke to me before I came to Barnsdall. He had to break me in two. He said, how long will you run like Jonah? How long will you run away from the ministry? I was absolutely miserable, the most miserable I've ever been in my entire life, until I fell on my face in the snow and said, God, I'm through running. I surrender all. Wherever you tell me to go, I will go. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. The altar is open if you want to have dealings with God. If you want to surrender all, every key to your heart. There is such a lie that the devil speaks that says you've got to get things together and then come to Christ. You've got to get your act together and then come to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me and I will clean you up. I will deliver you. I will rescue you. The altars are open. I want to invite whosoever will to come. Come. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. The one thing, the only thing you're hearing from Jesus is today is the day of salvation. Now's the time. Now's the time to turn from your sin and to trust Him with all of your heart. Now's the time to be born again. You come if that's you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all to God.
All to Jesus I surrender. I will love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I all to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all.
Is that really your prayer? If it is, sing it out from your heart. If you've truly surrendered all, you can sing it from your heart. If you haven't surrendered all, now's the time. Today's the day to kneel before God at the altar and give it all to Him. Everything that would hold you back. Let's sing it out if this is your prayer.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender. I surrender all.
Has everybody in the house today surrendered all? If you've surrendered all, lift both your hands. Many of us have. You surrendered everything to Christ. Praise the Lord. If you haven't, what would hold you back? What would hold you back? Do you know? Do you understand the one who is inviting you to come to Him and surrender all? The King of glory, the Son of God? Is He not worthy? Is He not worthy of your whole heart? I'm going to make one more appeal. I'm not going to beg. I don't want you to move just because you think if I don't move, He's not going to shut up. But if God is speaking to you, I'm going to make one more appeal. And you're holding back. One more appeal to give it all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of all salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender.
Lord Jesus, we adore You. We love You and exalt You, mighty God. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for giving Your all to us, O Lord. When it came to whether we would die and perish in hell or You would go to a cross, You chose to go to a cross in our place to rescue us, to deliver us from hell, from darkness, from death, from torment. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for paying the price. Thank You for shedding Your precious blood on the cross to wash us whiter than snow. Thank You for giving Your all. And thank You, Father. Thank You, Father God, for giving us Your only begotten Son, for giving Your best and giving Your all so that those who believe on You, those who that put their trust in Jesus would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank You, Father God. Lord, I confess, we confess that You are worthy. You are worthy of all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. We would be foolish, Lord, to hold back apart for ourselves. Foolish. Open our eyes to see Your beauty. Open our eyes to see Your glory. Open our eyes to see Your goodness and who You really are, O God. Just one glimpse, Lord, of You. In all of Your glory and grace, and who could withhold? Who could not choose to follow You with all their heart and serve You with every fiber of their being? You are worthy, O God. You are worthy of praise and glory and honor. You are worthy of absolute surrender. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for those here, Lord, who have surrendered all. Who have given You everything they know, Lord, everything that You've spoken, everything that You've touched in their heart, that You put Your finger on, and they've given it to You. Thank You for those who are willing to serve You, Lord, no matter the cost, willing to follow You wherever You lead, willing to obey You, willing to yield to You at any cost. Thank You for them. Bless them and strengthen them, O God. Fill their cup to overflowing. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We praise You. We worship You. We adore You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We'll go out singing. Thank You, Lord.